We're going to kick off this presentation with David Harrington. He has an MPH forecast from University of California, Berkeley, right? With a focus on occupational health and safety, program planning and evaluation, education and training, as well as intervention research. Until recently, he was with the Occupational Health Branch, California Department of Public Health, and he is now with California OSHA Consultation. He has over 25 years of experience in developing, implementing, and evaluating workplace health and safety prevention programs. He has trained thousands of employers and workers on implementing effective health and safety programs. Let's make welcome David Harrington for his first presentation.
Thank you. First of all, I want to start off by acknowledging particular work of a few people. Jennifer McNary, who couldn't be here today, who's the industrial hygienist on this project, and Jennifer does, in her own quiet way, she does great work, and she was really sort of, did a lot of the sort of the hard industrial hygiene work associated with this project. And let me also back up that the abstract that I submitted in February and what I'm going to present today is like fairly significantly different because you know how that works, you know. We did a lot of work between February and September. Also want to mention Dennis Schusterman, who's our HESIS chief, or was our HESIS chief. Dennis did a lot of work on this effort and initiative. Just mentioned Dennis recently retired. HESIS, if you're familiar with it, is our early warning chemical hazards effort in California. We have a new legislative mandate, which gives us even more authority. Anybody who's a mid-career person interested, we're recruiting for a HESIS chief, so spread the word. It's a really good job with a great bunch of people like Laura Stiles. And the last person is Bob Harrison, who's the head of our occupational health surveillance program. And Bob's supposed to be here, but he's probably on the phone or something. Right? Bob's also known as the Toxic Avenger, so, you know, that's his other title. So I have no relationships to disclose as far as my relationship with methane chloride and toxic paint removers. So I just wanted to say that for some reason, things got kind of turned around, and I should follow Bob. Oh, there he is. The Toxic Avenger has arrived. And Bob's talk is at 12:30. Bob's going to talk about both the California and nationally the fatalities that occurred, the FACE program's investigations of bathtub and tile refinishers around the country, and the California investigations, including the MMWR articles and things. He's going to talk about the toxicology, the industrial hygiene, the exposure assessment, and the regulatory framework. California also has legislation called the Chemicals of Concern Program. Methane chloride has been selected as one of the three where basically the industry, if these three nominees are actually finally selected, the burden will be on the industry to do an alternatives assessment. So we have other leverage points around this issue of methane chloride. And then Bob's finally going to talk about the paint store employees survey that was done. I'm going to be talking about our needs assessment and our materials development, which I brought materials in the back of the room, our outreach and dissemination around early hazard alerts and then the development of other materials, our post-mailing paint store managers survey, which was tied in with our occupational health internship program, and Jerry Sussman is here. Jeremy and Erica Meza were our two students this summer who worked on this project. And working on safer substitutes, Jeremy and Erica and I went out, and other folks in the occupational health branch, and got contractors and workers to field test two safer substitutes. And finally, a little bit about our bilingual worker educational materials, tailgate training cards, and pocket cards. Sorry. A little bit about methane chloride, you know, the acute health effects, narcosis, arrhythmias, liver test abnormalities in terms of chronic health effects, and liver cancer, possible liver cancer. In terms of the industrial hygiene hierarchy of controls, obviously we're starting out with substitution. There are some newer products out on the market, benzyl alcohol and soy-based strippers, and there's some issues with some of them. Enclosure, ventilation, and PPE, which I'll show you about in a moment. There's real limitations to air purifying respirators, limitations of conventional glove materials, which is something that Jennifer worked a lot on. So, actually, let me back up on this. I'll just mention a few things about the fatalities in California. People aren't familiar. How many people here are familiar with what methane chloride is used for and its availability? Okay, so many of you know it's available in Home Depot, paint store shelves, hardware stores. It's used widely by a whole range of everything from larger commercial painting contractors, commercial painting contractors, residential, do-it-yourselfers, furniture strippers. It's widely available. It's definitely the product of choice in terms of paint removal. It's also, which Bob will go into in more detail, it's extremely toxic. And we saw a number of deaths in California. One was a bathtub refinisher. The ones of most significance in California was a Southern California paint mixing company where workers were down in the mixing vat using methane chloride to strip the paint. And the other one was actually with an Iraq war veteran stripping the paint off of a baptismal in a church, and he also died from methane chloride exposure. So in our campaign, we had three key messages that we were trying to hone in on, and the audience were paint stores, selected contractor categories, and do-it-yourselfers. The first one being that methane chloride causes fatalities in confined spaces, but for most users, the chronic effects are really the critical part of it. We needed to provide reasons for not using methane chloride, instead selecting safer paint removers. And if you're going to have to use methane chloride or other toxic paint removers, then you're going to need to have the controls and the PPE in place to follow, which is one of our guidelines in the back. So in our materials development, we did a needs assessment and key informant interviews. We developed three draft materials, a display poster, which I'll show you in a minute, for the stores, a product shopping list for the stores and for contractors in terms of a selection, and then a personal protective equipment and engineering controls guide for stores and contractors and workers. We also developed a hazard alert, which Bob will talk about later. So this is our poster for the paint stores. This is the final version of it. We went through numerous iterations of it. We sort of broke it out into four zones. Kind of the green zone at the top, the benzyl alcohol and soy-based. The kind of amber zone, which is more caustic products in commercial and industrial work. Heavy use of products like Peel Away and other caustic products, which are, of course, not petroleum-based, but still have a lot of issues regarding splash and burns and things on skin and eyes and things. Then the third category was the sort of, that's more amber, which is more oftentimes where we see with some of the soy-based products, but they contain NMP, and also the citrus-based products, which is a reproductive hazard. And then the final category, the red zone, the methane chloride, toluene, methanol-based strippers, which we sort of put out sort of what you need to have in place in order to use those products. This is our shopping guide, sort of updated. We now have a number of, this is sort of coming in the sort of the amber and the red zone. As you can see, there's a multitude of methane chloride-based products. Out west, a lot of people use Jazco, which was actually recently, a few years ago, bought by Bar, based in Tennessee, and they kept the name Jazco because it's kind of like Kleenex. You know, it's like you don't ask for methane chloride, you ask for Jazco. So it's got high name recognition. So there's a whole litany of these products that are available, as you can see, by these coloring categories. This is our kind of green zone, the rest of our yellow and amber colors. We do have a growing number of the preferred products. Recently, a company that makes Fiberlock, a company that makes Piranha 8, has in fact begun to make their own product as well, along with companies like Dumont Chemicals, who've been in the business for a long time of paint strippers. This is our PPE guide for contractors and workers, and even do-it-yourselfers in terms of gloves, eye protection, and respiratory protection. And basically, we, in the red zone, people don't understand this, but neoprene, nitrile, and butyl rubber gloves are not protective enough with using methane chloride, and you really have to go to a polyvinyl alcohol glove and use of other personal protective equipment and supplied air.
There's some handouts.
Is there a?
If you'd like a handout.
Oh, you're right, Peter. I'm standing up here and.
Is that better, Peter?
Yeah. Is that?
There's some in the back on those chairs.
I think that's better.
Yeah.
Yes. I guess. Okay.
No, you're right. Sorry about that. I missed that from standing up here. So we conducted some key informant interviews, 5 paint store managers and 3 painting contractors. We developed a set of open-ended questions, lengthy interviews, and initial reaction materials. We also left drafts of these materials I just showed you and a cover letter for them to review. And then we followed up with them with visits 1 week later to get their feedback. So what did we hear from the paint store managers? The volume of use of methylene chloride by contractors and do-it-yourselfers has actually dropped off. Before, they used to order pallets of it, and now they order more like cases, just in terms of the... And that's a reflection of a number of things. There's just less wholesale paint removal being done, more spot removal. And this is very much related to time, materials, but also the lead paint issue, which sort of has come into play in terms of they're just not as inclined to remove the level of paint that they used to remove. All think that... They can sell safe removers, but they don't really know how. They all think that they're selling safe paint removers, but they don't really know how they are safer. And that they're confident that contractors know how to handle methane chloride and these other products, but they don't think do-it-yourselfers do it all. All the store managers were under the misconception that the PPE that they sold was adequate to protect anybody who came in and bought methane chloride paint strippers, and when they'd point to their kiosk of PPE materials and you'd sort of outline to them what was wrong with that, they were like, really? You know, they had no idea. On the other hand, they pointed out that they would probably not carry some of those higher end, like those polyvinyl alcohol gloves, because they can't afford to keep that kind of high expense material on their shelves and not have it turn over pretty rapidly. They mainly rely upon sales reps and trade shows for the information they pass on, so that's where they get really, that's their information gatekeepers. They like the larger poster and the PPE list for better customer service. They like the customer service aspect. They have some suggestions for resizing, displaying, like other product spec sheets to keep it simple. And some objected, though, to the product list as they carry all the products, and they didn't like the idea that they were having toxic products on their shelf and there was this warning poster that was there that was laminated and hanging there saying, don't use this product, or if you do, you know, this is what you need to do. And the other thing is that the managers of chain paint stores, the Kelly Moores of the world, have no authority to post anything. You have to go through corporate headquarters to get any kind of participation on their part in any of these kinds of efforts. So in terms of the contractors, they found the materials very useful. They were concerned about too many messages. It was very hard for them to navigate through all this in terms of understanding basic industrial hygiene, but the PPE choices. They really liked the product selection guide because it gave them some choice and sort of how they could select. They knew that methylene chloride was toxic, but they still need to use it, that because of its excellent performance. And so they needed to have it for site-specific demands. And while they desired safer products, they made it clear to me that they would oppose any banning methylene chloride because they wanted to have that available always because that was going to undermine their business if they didn't have it. But the other big aha thing was, or moment was, that they were surprised to find out that many of the greener products that were being sold in the paint stores, like Citrus Strip, which is something that's popularly used, it's fairly effective, were not as safe as they were told it was safe because they contain NMP. So our initial outreach and dissemination, we did a hazard alert. We mailed out to 700 furniture and bathtub refinishers. We developed a topics page for our website. Then we mailed out a packet of these materials to over 1,000 paint and hardware stores, including an order form to have the laminated poster that they could hang on their shelf along with the way they hang their other spec sheets. But based on our needs assessment, we decided not to mail to the paint stores, the big box stores, and what have you. We also did our electronic occupational health watch, which with links, which we sent out to over 6,000 stakeholders, unions, and other agencies. We ran an article in the California Contractor State Licensing Board newsletter, which goes out to every licensed contractor in the state. We also recently did a single-page letter with links to over 14,000 and 1,800 licensed abatement contractors in the state. We're telling them that they could order these materials and what have you. I spoke at 5 contractor meetings around the state around this topic, recruited from them for our OHIP project. Off of this, we developed the scope of work for our summer occupational health internship program and did a lot of outreach with contract organizations and unions to undertake this project. So here's a sort of a cornucopia of paint strippers, and I challenge any of you to be able to categorize these in sort of the 4 categories, and this is the sort of the challenge we face. So you can see, you can imagine the do-it-yourselfer, the contractor, the worker, anybody sort of trying to make that kind of informed decision about how do we pick a safer substitute. That also performs well. So our summertime project we did with Erica Meza and Jeremy Sossman, and Jeremy's here in the audience today from University of Minnesota. And what we did in the OHIP project was we wanted them to assess the value of the poster at a sample of these paint stores who had ordered the laminated poster because they could order it laminated, learn about the current paint remover product use and health and safety experiences. Provide and evaluate 2 safer substitute products, in other words, a field study. Develop some worker bilingual training tools and conduct tailgate trainings along with that and develop a worker educational material.
So I'm sorry, I misspoke earlier. So this is voluntary posting?
Yeah.
Okay. Totally.
Totally voluntary.
Right.
Okay. Methods, we went out to 13 paint stores, Ace Hardware, solely owned and independent, interviewed store managers, provided education materials to them as well. This is sort of the findings in terms of paint stripper products on the shelves that we found. As you can see, Jasco on the far left and Citrus Strip are sort of the running neck and neck, but we did see in the third line Smart Strip, which was one of the products we field tested. Field work methods was that, first of all, Jeremy and Erica had to develop a survey tool. We worked with them on that. They did key informant interviews and piloted it. We visited 10 work sites to conduct worker and supervisor interviews, 38 workers and 12 supervisors. They conducted baseline interviews along with other occupational health branch staff, and then we gave them 2 samples of 2 products to try out on job sites. And then we followed up with them. We circled back to document their experience with those 2 products, and then we also offered free tailgate training to the crew as well. So the demographics a little bit about who this audience was, overwhelmingly Latino. Women workers that you see there were actually in a furniture stripping business. Average time, there was one union work site, a large lead abatement job that we were on, and the supervisors, as you can see. Just to give you a sense of some of the jobs, a residential Victorian in San Francisco on the top left. Bottom left is a cabinet refinishing facility, very toxic work environment, no local exhaust ventilation. On the far right is a large lead abatement job. Interesting enough, on this job, after he piloted the 2 safer products, he was originally going to use a caustic. As you can see, when we came back to do the follow-up interviews, they made a decision to use one of our safer substitutes, the Smart Strip product. Baseline interviews, you can see use. Methylene chloride wins out over everything, other chemical paint removers, and then finally heat guns is about 4%. Here are the health symptoms that the workers reported to Jeremy and Erica and the other staff in terms of chemical burns, skin irritation, eye, nose, throat irritation, headaches, dizziness, fatigue, and drowsiness. the difference is pretty dramatic between the typical chemical paint strippers and the safer substitutes. In terms of the rating scale, how would you rate the two products in terms of excellent, very good, good, fair, poor? Smart Strip definitely outdistanced the safest stripper product. Those were the two products we tried. Smart Strip is made by Dumont. Safest Stripper is made by 3M. So overall, the performance measures were all much higher on the Smart Strip product. Ease of use was the one thing where they were close. So in terms of amongst the workers, would you use this product again? We got a pretty resounding yes to Smart Strip and a pretty resounding no to Safest Stripper. Some of the worker quotes that we got from Smart Strip versus Safest Strip, I'll just let you look at those. I won't read them. Another thing was the students developed this board, which was a board game to be used in the tailgate training with the four code categories. As you can see, the preferred, the use with caution, extreme caution, and not recommended. And the idea behind this was that most of these tailgate trainings were conducted in Spanish, and the idea was that Erica kind of led them through an exercise where they had to figure out where each of these plates or foam boards, you know, images should be placed within this. So it generated a lot of discussion, a lot of interaction. People in general found it a very kind of a useful way to kind of look at sort of how to understand these hazardous materials and PPE use. Here's just a picture of Jeremy and Erica conducting a tailgate on the street. Finally, the students also developed a worker pocket guide, which is folded, and I brought a copy of, which is a bilingual pocket guide on using the same four color code categories. In closing, it's very difficult to assess the impact of a general outreach on its own, as there are many variables like the layers of paint, time, materials. There's so many variables that come into play here. We did raise the awareness for safer alternative products with key audiences. We provided workers and supervisors with a hands-on experience using safer products, which is something that they really liked and internalized and took on with enthusiasm, although a lot of hesitancy in the beginning. We did obtain performance data, which is critical in construction, about safer substitutes showing mixed results. Many contractors are no longer heavy users of methane chloride and only use it for difficult areas because the hazards are too high. There's a preference for caustics or citrus-type removers over methane chloride, but there are also openings for truly safer products. Consumption and demand, however, will not shift until there's a shift in policy and regulation changes, and there's more research and development in terms of filling this gap, this need that exists. And ultimately, along with regulation, the four P's need to be met, which is: is this product, safer product, a solution? Does it perform well enough? The price. Methane chloride is a high price. It's difficult to manage. The actual price, another problem, the actual price of a gallon of methane chloride is $28. The price of Smart Strip is $48. The place. Is it available? Can I go to my local paint store or my regular supplier and get the safer product? Is it on the shelves? Can I buy it? And finally, are we doing the kind of promotion, the messaging that's memorable, persuasive, and going to push the industry away from using products like methane chloride and other toxic paint removers? Fine. Thank you.